All right, five? No, five. Yeah, right, sure. Uh-huh. Off to a great start this morning. 7:58, almost 8 o'clock in the morning on October 4th, a Thursday morning. It is cold. I wore my sweatshirt and an undershirt and an overshirt, and I'm still cold. My fingers are freezing. My nose is running. I did some tests with the microphone, and as far as I can tell, it's recording normally this morning. I repacked the mic in its little foam case, and I did a couple of test runs this morning, and they sounded okay, but they were short. So we'll see. I'm beginning to wonder if there's a break somewhere in the wire, or if I just didn't get it quite plugged in far enough. The case is curved, and normally I get it plugged in all the way, but there have been a couple of times where I've noticed that I didn't actually get the microphone jack plugged all the way in. So there's that. Let's see. Today's Thursday, which means I have to go to high school very soon now. It's 8 o'clock. I have to be there by 9. So I've got 20 minutes to finish my walk, and then 20 minutes after I'm home to get this edited, updated, and posted so that I can then put on some clean clothes and head over to the high school and meet with my novel writing club. I'm very, very much looking forward to it. Yesterday's talk, I talked about a book called Mind Benders by Ted Crever. I finished the book finally, and I actually left him an Amazon review. It wasn't a bad book. I expected it to be a bad book. The thing is, I expected, you know, these mind powers stories generally tend to be meh. I have a hard time with them. I don't really like, you know, sort of paranormal fantasy, whatever it is. I'm not even sure. But mind readers, contemporary fantasy, whatever it is. But Crever did a really good job of putting enough physics around the paranormal that it actually worked. I was able to focus in on how... on the story rather than being distracted by the powers. And the characters were all nicely flawed. They had, everybody had something that was a problem. And the team that assembled to battle the bad guys was not likewise flawed. But it was fun. It was a very complicated plot. It was a very twisty-turny plot. And, unlike a certain lanolin-laced title that has been getting a lot of publicity lately, he doesn't really play the switcheroo card. Oh, no, that's what it meant. No. There were a couple of places where there were obvious clues laid out, and if you recognized the clues, you could tell what they were. But, of course, The characters in the book didn't interpret them correctly right off the bat. So it was quite interesting. And I enjoyed it a great deal, I have to say. I was some places where it was a bit creaky. And some places where the characterization was... The main character was a recovering individual with a brain injury. And it was never really clear to me if he was part of a program or not, or if he had just been suborned by the guy who dies in the opening scene. So that was never clear to me. But he also alternated between seeming to be about 16 years old and claiming to be 25. And a lot of the stuff that he did was much more in line with somebody much younger. And yet he was supposed to have been in Fallujah or Kandahar, one of those places. And a lot of his flashbacks were of battles that he was in. And yet he'd do odd, very juvenile things quite frequently, which is kind of... And I had to stop and think that perhaps they only seem that way to me because I really don't remember quite clearly the difference between being 16 and being 25. Well, I thought I did. I think I do. But the truth of the matter is that at 25, I was probably doing pretty stupid things like that too. So, I didn't give it a 5-star. 5 stars for the very best. But it was still a good book, and I would recommend it. And in fact, I am recommending it to you now on my podcast. It's Mindbender's Krever, K-R-E-V-E-R. I'll get a link in the sidebar. I said I would do it yesterday and then forgot because I was so pissed that the file was bad. I talked about another book yesterday as well, and that was The Trouble in Mudbug, which was a BookBub recommendation that I picked up for, I think, for free. But it was an interesting, it looked fun. It looked, I don't know why, because the cover absolutely is chunk worthy. The cover looks like a kid's book. The title sounds like a kid's book. The Trouble in Mudbug. And the graphics, the art on the cover makes it look like this pickup truck is just floating in air, apparently above a bayou. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be resting in the bayou or what. But anyway, I picked it up. I figured, well, what the hell, give it a try. And I gotta say, I'll have to look the author's name up because I've forgotten it twice, three times now already. The Trouble in Mudbug. I have to say that there's, in spite of the fact that this is a paranormal romance, although the romance is not with the ghost, there is a ghost, and both of the main characters can see the ghost, which is probably a spoiler, I shouldn't have said that. But, it's quite a delightful story. It's a bit fluffy. It's a bit light. It's a bit, I don't want to say predictable because it certainly isn't predictable. Although, there, being a writer, I can see how it was put together and why some of the decisions were made. And, in spite of all of that, I still am enjoying the story very much. So, Trouble in Mudbug. And I'll try to get a link to that in the sidebar as well. It's romantic comedy. It's a paranormal romance. And very clearly romance. There's no... so far, anyway, there's no explicit carrying on. So far, I think there's been one smooch. And that's about it. But the promise is there that there's going to be the happily ever after, which will make this very clearly romance. So it's a lot of fun, and that's where we are there. So what else was I talking about yesterday? Yesterday I was also talking about having to send another letter to those people. And I also was talking about getting Cypher's Call ready to go. I got through the first, I want to say the first half or so of the book with the last round of copy edits. It went terribly slow to begin with because I had to find everything. Once I got the system down, it went along really quite smoothly, but I had to find everything and that took time. I also had to discover some new techniques. Part of the book is in straight quotes, like you would type on a typewriter. Part of the book is in curly quotes, like you would see in typesetting or in a word processing document. And for some reason that isn't consistent. And there's sections of it that are straight quotes and sections of it that are curly quotes. And then I had to find a way to turn them consistent and ideally into curly quotes. Although I may have to undo that in order to get it into ebook format. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, so it was very interesting to go through, and I'm falling in love with this book all over again. So I'm very anxious to get it done. I need to get copy edits done by today so I can spend tomorrow formatting and layout, and then pull the trigger tomorrow night and have the book available on Saturday. And then next week I can start working on finishing up the audio and getting the audiobooks version of it ready. Then working on South Coast. I've got an artist working on the cover for South Coast. I said the last of this month, but I think what I'm going to do is shoot for the first Saturday in November and try to have a release on the first Saturday of the month until I run out of books. I got a bunch of stuff to get out, not the least of which are the backlists, which should be back to me by the 2nd of December. Tomorrow Ann Crispin has a big announcement that should show up on her website and blog. I'm looking forward to reading that. And I have some legal documents that I need to deal with myself in terms of making sure that I'm not in violation of any contract terms. Probably said too much about that already. I will say more about it once I actually have an official notice, and then we will make some really seriously official announcements. But I also talked to the cover artist, and I don't think I mentioned this before. I think I talked about it yesterday, but the cover artist, the big name guy. He had really good art, but he didn't want me to pay him for his art. He didn't want me to pay him for his product. He wanted me to pay him for his time. And I balked at that. I want to pay him for a cover. I will pay you for a cover. If you need to have so much money, get the cover done in time. If it takes longer, then I'm sorry, I can't help you. I was actually willing to pay him a premium, but he wasn't interested in that. He wanted me to pay him on for his time, and he was unwilling to say how much time was going to be involved. So I would have happily paid him by time if he could have told me how many weeks he wanted. But since he was unable to tell me how many weeks it was going to take, I had to say, you know, there's a lot of downside here for me and not a lot of upside. And there's a lot of upside for you to be late and not a lot of downside. So that's not a deal I can take. So I thanked him and moved on to number two. Number two guy has South Coast in his hands. I'm going to use that as a kind of a trial balloon. I still left the contract open on guru.com. There are still people there that I could talk to. And so I've left the contract open, even though I said it was only going to be open for a week. There's a lot of it that I can't do. It's got the wrong feel. And there's some friends, actually. The woman who did Paulette Jackson's cover for The Princess Sword turns out to be one of my wife's friends from online, and she's offered to take a look at it, and I might take her up on it. I've looked at some of her other covers, and she does some very nice work, but she's very much into the fantasy genre, and not so much into the sort of photorealistic space opera kinds of covers that I need. So, and it's one of those, it's odd, because I look at a lot of stuff, and I've looked at a lot of stuff, and some of it is like, the subject matter is wrong, but I like the feel of it. I like the texture of it. I like the flavor of the artwork. which is really what turned me on to Kip Ayers for Ravenwood. For Ravenwood, Kip Ayers is a perfect guy, but I don't think he's the right guy for the Cher books, for science fiction. So we'll have to see how that goes. So yesterday was a big day. It was a long, long day. I've worked pretty much all morning, most of the afternoon. I had to take some time off to go to the post office and to get some groceries, but pick up kids from school. And then I worked some more last night. So I got through a lot of the book. I still have a lot of the book left to go, just judging from the file position on the scroll bar on the side. I still got something more than half to go. And I'm going to lose 2 hours this morning, 2 hours of my key production time this morning, because I've got to go talk to my high school people. But yeah, that's coming. So I'll have to do that. I may have to stay up late tonight and work on it. I don't know. We'll have to see. The problem is that by the end of the day, I'm so tired that I really can't tell the difference between commas and periods on the screen. And so it makes it difficult to do editing work, where what I'm trying to fix is excess commas, where one of the copy editors has said, you need a comma here, you don't need a comma there. And to find exactly how that looks and then apply it is it's a bit awkward once your eyes get too tired. So, and my eyes get really tired now because of my cataracts, so I have to, I'm still shooting for Saturday, but maybe late in the day. I do have tomorrow, and formatting isn't really a big deal. Formatting is a matter of a little bit, and I can do formatting even if my eyes are tired a little. Getting it into licks is going to be the most time-consuming, assuming that I can get the Mobi to accept the ODT file out of LibreOffice. Brent Gamblin turned me onto this trick. Word won't import cleanly. Word docs will go into Calibre, but they won't convert to ebooks. However, ODT files that come out of OpenOffice or LibreOffice are XML files that Calibre recognizes. And so it knows how to center and bold and highlight and all the rest. So it can take a Word file, a word processing file out of LibreOffice, and turn it into any format I need, including Mobi or EPUB or whatever. So that makes ebook formatting a whole lot easier, except of course for Smashwords, which is a complete pain in the ass. But I'm getting the hang of this, I think. And I'll get this down, because I've got a lot of books to do in the next few weeks. So we'll see. We see indeed. But then I can do the audiobooks. And then I can do the edits for the re-releases. And then the new books. And somewhere in there, I've got to start writing the last book in The Hermit of Lammas Wood, which I'm very anxious to do. I might try to do it in NaNoWriMo, but I don't know. The problem is that I've got so much stuff that has to happen in November that does not involve writing a new book. I'm not sure I've really got the energy for it. For one thing, I've got to get, this month, I have to get my students to get their final draft, the first drafts done. So we'll have November to edit, and then we can format later in the month, early and late November, and have them ready for them by mid-December. Oh, and fill the shelves. Two books, two libraries have now had their wish lists filled. We've got a, should have a new library coming up in the next day or so, but we're down to, I can't believe it, we're down to like 20, 30 books maybe that still need to be shipped before we'll have a clean slate. and really need new librarians to step forward, new libraries to join the program. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. With any luck at all, today's file will be clean and I'll be able to post it and all will be good. 20 minutes. Wow. All right. With that, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day and I'll talk to you then.